old and we're going to complain about stuff, I tell you.
That's what we're going to do. Darn it. Warning, we're going to complain.
We'll get a lot we're complaining about tonight.
Pokemon
tonight.
People.
Yeah, it's a lot. Self-righteous gas
bags with sticks up their butts. Ow. Oh, that's me. Ooh.
What's this Pokemon?
Stay up. The Guardians of the
Geekery Podcast. Can you try not to write so hard?
Oh, I'm not. I'm sorry. I'm writing hard.
Meow! That's your meow.
Sick.
Tiffany the Technician will not be appearing in this podcast. No, we never explained that last podcast.
Oh, we'll have to explain that.
We threw in the garage appeal.
He needed company. Damn right they
shot first. Well, he needed out so he could go to kill him.
Woo! Episode 93! 93, right?
93.
As far as we know.
Christopher Jones, we love you. Thank you for doing that intro. We're sorry that we talk over it every single time.
We still love you, though, Chris. Love you. This is the super geeky episode with Misty. How was your stay at the lovely Starnes Geek Gala? Garage. HQ garage.
It was like sleeping on a cloud.
Oh, she slept on Field's head.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah, we don't know what's in that big.
For those of you who are new to the podcast, Tiffany the Technician is not appearing tonight.
No.
In her stead, we have special guest star Misty Massey. But also, we did let Field out of the garage because he's doing a special performance of Killing Women.
Yes.
Which is a Stephen C. Productions that's going on upstage in Nona right now as we are recording.
Yes.
They have two more shows, one on Friday and one on Saturday. Tickets are only $15 if you get them online at carolinaticks.org.
And it's worth it.
It's totally worth it. Field Canty, Lucy Wilson, Matthew Shantz, all from Robot Johnson are in it. Also, Leslie Ann Giles is in it. You may know her from the Children's Theater and the House of Yes. She's done a bunch of stuff from at Petra's. And then Christopher Jones, not the same one that records for us here. And then, who am I missing? Oh, the other young lady that I was not familiar with her.
Gwen.
Yes. We love you. We just don't know your name.
Sorry.
And Stephen C., S-E-A-Y. It's his last show of this season. So if you want to see it, Killing Women. It's about an hour and a half. There's a brief intermission in between.
Mm-hmm.
It's upstairs at Noda, and you can get some drinks there. And, of course, there's lots of fun places to eat right up and around Noda. So
go see it. It's
go
fun.
Go see it.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it. You get to see Matt die a lot of times. Not this Matt, though.
Not this Matt.
Not this Matt. So that's why Field is not actually in the garage right now.
Sorry, I'm thinking trash can.
But he'll be back on the show for our 100th episode.
Oh, yeah. My
Which is
gosh.
Only like 7 episodes away. Can you believe that?
No, I can't.
Of course,
it's
like
sitting in Sushi 101 ever so long ago and going, hey, do you want to do a podcast?
Yeah, I bought this Yeti off the internet for like $65. Do you guys want to do this with me?
It was going to be once a month, 15-minute podcast on Doctor Who.
Yeah, just
and
like,
it turned into this. It's crazy. It's all.
You crazy kids.
You crazy kids.
And then Tiffles just ended up staying over while we were doing the first podcast and said, can I join?
She's like, I'll do all the technical stuff. Never did anything.
Never did
anything. I need to change that name. Yeah.
No, she's Tiffles Tenenbaum, so
that's
anyway.
Right.
Yes. So speaking about Stranger Things.
I don't know if anyone else is catching this on Netflix.
I have it on my list now.
It's on my queue.
I've watched the first two episodes. Mm-hmm. This is totally a love letter to the 1980s.
I
think you would actually like
it. I would love this.
But it's very reminiscent of Stephen King. I know he didn't write it, but it's done by the Duffer Brothers, who are apparently from Durham, and I did not realize that. But they're local boys. But they wrote and directed it. And it's about a group of four boys who are Dungeons and Dragons aficionados. One of them disappears under mysterious circumstances, and they find Elle, which is short for 11, which is this little girl that is escaped from a laboratory, and she has telekinesis. So I'm only on episode 2. It stars Winona Ryder and Matthew Modine and
I like him.
another actor that I'm blanking on the name. But he was in Brokeback Mountain. That's what I remember him from. But it's actually really good.
Not Jake Gyllenhaal.
No, it's not any. It's not. Well, obviously, it's not Heath Ledger.
Too soon. Oh. All right.
But it's really good.
The CGI debut of Heath Ledger. You didn't ask for it, but you're getting out there.
It is really good. It is very shot, very 80s. It's good. It's. And the music is, and the graphics for the beginning and everything. Oh. Totally 80s. Wow. So much so, I don't know if anyone's ever seen Garth Marenghi's Dark Place.
Not in a long time. Back when we used to have cable, I watched it. Oh, God.
I had to stop watching because the music just reminded me of that.
Is that why you logged into it last night?
And I'm going to get the name wrong. And I everybody should watch this. All of the Dark Place episodes are on YouTube, and I love them. They're stupid, yes. Stupid fun.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm actually really enjoying Stranger Things, and I'm going to finish it off here this week. I recommend it. Go and see it.
Cool. I think that's on our list after Misfits, which we've been watching.
Yeah, I haven't caught up with Misfits yet. I'm still about halfway through season 2.
Okay. We finished season 2. We're on to season 3. No major spoilers, but there is a very interesting episode that we watched last night, and I think given the present political situation, I found it very intriguing. And basically, it was another let's go back in time and kill Hitler situation. Oh. But the gentleman who chooses to go back in time happens to be like his parents were taken to the concentration camps, and he was adopted. And the first 5 minutes, I'm telling you, that's all I'm telling you, is he was adopted, and he ends up going back in time to kill Hitler, but unfortunately he's an older man. So when he goes to stab Hitler with the knife, he's easily overpowered. Yeah. However, as he's bleeding and starts to go forward in time back to where he started, he drops his cell phone. And so the Nazis are able to take that technology and take over the world.
Huge leap forward.
Yeah.
So when he comes back to the exact same place he left, it's a totally different alternate universe.
Wow.
It was extremely interesting. And it was just another one of those, this is why you can't kill Hitler stories. Mm-hmm. But just fascinating. And it was a fascinating look at where those characters who were one place at one time might have ended up in this new alternative universe. So very interesting, and specifically, you know, the strong military presence and the, you know, Big Brother kind of feel to it. And that was that this week is a Republican National Convention. Just have to say.
Yeah.
There you go.
And it's Garth Marenghi's Dark Place.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So look that up. It's actually really, really funny.
But I do like The Misfits. It does start to change characters as you go past season 2. The end of season 2 is extremely bizarre.
British, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen the first season and a little of the second.
Yeah.
But we don't have cable at my house, and so we stream everything through Netflix and stuff, and then we go to the library and get whole seasons of whatever we can get our hands on.
Yeah.
And which is how I got to see Orphan Black, because I would just wait till the DVDs were available somewhere and get them from the library.
Yeah, Netflix, Hulu,
Amazon
are our three main ones that we have.
I broke and got HBO Go simply because I couldn't wait for my Game of Thrones.
But but we found that, and we do have Air TV. We have you can get the antenna and the HDTV, and we've actually had a lot of fun with that, with Buzzer Television.
It's like the old UHF channels. Uh-huh. Those are the ones that are being broadcast now, which are just awesome.
So we have MeTV, Antenna TV, and it's all the old shows.
I love MeTV.
Old, they're actually showing old Johnny Carson shows on they do an hour version of it. But it's like going back and seeing Lauren Bacall being interviewed, and just very cool to see people, even people that are still famous now, but when they first started, like those first comedic appearances and their interviews and stuff. So it's really interesting.
So speaking of Netflix, Luke Cage comes out September 30th.
Yes.
Sweet Christmas.
Nobody speak to me that weekend.
Yeah, we're mainlining Luke Cage. So, yeah, looking forward to that.
We don't mainline it though. We watch one and then we stop. Mm-hmm. And we force ourselves to wait another day because we're both into that whole anticipation thing. So
with Daredevil, it took us the longest. Mm-hmm. We probably watched two episodes max, and then I have to do something else, something happy. So just because blood, you know. Yeah. But
Jessica Jones too.
Jessica Jones, we went a little bit faster with that, but
that was more psychological rather than
That was just
and she's snarky. Yeah. So I
loved it though.
I was okay with that. Mm-hmm. Speaking of gory and snarky, Preacher.
Ooh. Preacher, yeah. So I caught up on Preacher. As stated, they explained what exactly is in Jesse, which is a demon-angel hybrid named Genesis. They actually pulled Genesis out of Jesse and put him back in the coffee can that he lives. But he got right back out and got right back into Jesse. So it's obvious that Genesis does not want to leave Jesse.
Well, wouldn't you if you had to be living in a coffee can?
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's not even good coffee.
Chock full of nuts in that heavenly coffee.
Something's going on with Tulip that I'm not quite sure, but she did something bad this week that I'm not going to go into that made me just dislike
she
the character
became
a little four bit.
Lip? Oh. Turbo and Tuno. All right, going on.
But she
did have a character named Archface on there too. So.
Yeah. And he sent Archface to hell, but kind of, sort of drew him back. But he's still trying to get him bodily back. He pulled his soul back out, but not his entire body. But right now he's fighting with one of the town leaders over the land that the church sits on, and he has promised everybody to come to church on Sunday because he is going to bring down God. Mm. So it'll be interesting to see how that works. And I want to like Tulip again, but man, she did something last week that I didn't like at all. So
Bad Tulip.
She was bad to begin with, so I can't imagine.
Yeah. She was, but man, this was just like, oh, you didn't.
Speaking of comic books and television, Dynamite TV announced something.
I just think of the 80s, you know, the 1970s, 80s Dynamite magazine.
Yeah. I think I still have one of those.
Yeah. Centerfolds of horses and stuff.
Yeah, so they're doing a miniseries with Wonder Woman and the Bionic Woman, which is pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Will the $6 million man make an appearance?
I think this is the femme power for the miniseries.
We don't need no stinking man.
Don't need it. And the art looks like it's Linda Carter's Wonder Woman, which I... one of my first crushes, so yes, I'm very excited.
Very nice.
She's a wild dog.
Speaking of not needing any men, Ghostbusters came out.
Yes.
Very funny.
Very funny. You saw it the morning after we saw it.
Yeah, and I enjoyed it. I'm giving it a solid B. It has issues that I can go into. Mm. But I gave it a solid B. I enjoyed the film. I liked all four leads. I really liked Leslie Jones and Kate McCrimmon. Mad crush on Holtzman. Girl crush. Oh dear, that's weird.
Yeah, she posted about pulling her hair today.
Yep, I saw that. But, too.
As the character, I liked the character. Oh. But yeah, it's a very enjoyable film. It's not the original. It was never going to be the original. But I thought it was better than Ghostbusters 2.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Well.
I just think it's its own thing. It's just it happens to have the name because for a movie these days, you really need some kind of tie-in.
Yeah.
And so they had the tie-in, but I mean, it was funny. I mean, I like the original Ghostbusters. This to me is just a different movie.
Yeah.
Similar kind of premise, but more actually funnier than the first one. As far as this one's more of a direct comedy, I thought we kind of. Yeah.
Would say I didn't laugh out loud as much as I did during the first. The 1980s Ghostbusters, but I like all four actresses. I will see a sequel because I like all four of these characters. And guess what? I went home and my 1980s Ghostbusters was still sitting on my shelf, and I could watch it anytime I want because it didn't disappear.
It didn't change into anything.
No, it didn't change into anything. It's still there. It's still the 1980s Ghostbuster. You know, my issue with it was mostly the fact that in order to boost the women up, they kind of had to boost the men down. So most of the men in this film are either assholes or stupid. And that was kind of I don't believe you need to do that. And in the sequel, I would love to see a guy that's just as smart as they are and not an asshole.
Well, sure.
I loved Chris Hemsworth as the dumb secretary. I really did. So I keep him stupid because that was cute. But it just seemed like every guy that they came across was either really stupid or an asshole. And I don't think that was quite necessary. That being said, social media, of course, has been out for this movie since day freaking one. Yeah. And the Gamergators, lovely little man children that they are, focused on Leslie Jones because, you know, she's the minority of the group. And apparently they hacked her Twitter account and then started posting just violent racial, basically death threats. And she quit Twitter because of it. And the argument is, well, she ruined my childhood. You know, if your childhood was so fucking fragile that a movie that you don't have to go see because you have to pay money to buy a ticket, if that's what's ruining your childhood, seek therapy. Because your childhood was fucked before this movie came out.
Indeed.
But they have banned the leader, who is a, I'm using air quotes, journalist.
Mm. Well, he's with Breitbart, so.
Yeah, so I'm using air quotes, journalist. But they've banned him from Twitter. And they have said that they will actively search for any alts that he attempts to use, because he basically spearheaded it.
I was listening to, on the way up here, I was listening to a report on NPR about it, and they were saying that on his Twitter account, it was all sweetness and light. Oh, I'm doing this weekend. I'm going to the prom or something. Because apparently he's, 17, I guess?
I don't know. He's young.
He's young. But, but it was on Reddit and
4chan.
4chan, yeah. That he actually was seeking out people and directing them to go after Leslie Jones.
Oh, my gosh.
So Twitter has, and according to NPR, Twitter has... Whoever's in charge of Twitter has gotten in touch with Leslie Jones and is working with her to try to clean this situation up. Yeah.
You know, their excuse was, well, she posted racist stuff first, except they hacked her account and posted that.
Right.
So it's you know, it was basically they targeted her. And I never understood that because, you know, you come across these guys where it's like, I love the first film, and this is just shitting all over the first film. But you're going after one of the actors. You're not going after the producers who paid for the film or the director who wrote and directed the damn film.
And which, by the way, one of the producers...
Dan Aykroyd.
And also Ivan Reitman, who did the original Ghostbusters. So shut the fuck up. It's the same dude that paid for this thing.
Yeah, and all of the original cast, with the exception, of course, of Harold Ramis and Rick Moranis, who doesn't act anymore, make appearances in this film. And they've endorsed this film. So if you don't like the film, that's fine. You don't have to like the film.
Yeah, don't go.
Yep.
It's not going to be for everybody. But don't bitch about it if you're not going to see it. Don't review it. Because this thing had negative reviews on IMDb weeks before it came out.
Yeah.
Don't review it if you're not going to bother to see it. And don't see it if you're just going to do nothing but bitch and moan and complain about it.
Yeah. I have a friend, a good friend of mine. But... he went with us to see the 5th or 6th Harry Potter movie, and he just trashed all over it. And then after talking to him for just a little bit, he's like, well, it's just a filler film, you know. I was like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm like, have you seen any of the other films? He's like, and he admitted it was his first Harry Potter film that he'd been to, and he hadn't read any of the books. So, A, why the hell did you come?
Yeah.
And B, you don't know the hell that you're talking about, so I'm done with you. Goodbye.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, he's a good friend of mine. We still talk. He comes to my house. But I was done. You know, I was and I kind of feel the same way about this. It's like, you never even gave this a chance.
No.
And I said to somebody, you know, I'm not a horror person. So I'm not going to go to a horror movie because I know that that's just not going to be my thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I might end up watching a horror movie that somebody's like, oh, it's really good and it's not gory and whatever on my TV at home. But I'm not going to go out and review a movie on a genre that I don't appreciate. You know, I don't expect other people to go and watch, you know, La Boheme live from the Met. If all they ever watch is comic, you know, movies. It's not going to work for you.
Right.
So.
And I get the argument because when they rebooted Star Trek, I was kind of horrified because I can't, I, I literally do not remember a time in my life where I was not a Star Trek fan because I started watching it that young.
Yeah.
And the idea of recasting Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock was just like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
But I went and saw the film, fully preparing to hate it, and I walked out thinking, that was actually a good film. I enjoyed that. Did it replace, you know, William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy? No. Will Leonard Nimoy and William Shatner always be Mr. Spock and Captain Kirk to me? Yes. But this was a film that I could enjoy and have fun at and go, yeah, it was a pretty good film. And the same with Ghostbusters. Now, they're not playing the same characters. These are all different characters.
And let's be honest. Both situations, Leonard Nimoy and Harold Ramis, never going to make another movie.
Right.
Right.
So if you like the franchise, these are our options, people. Yeah. So either get on board or get out of the way.
Or just go back and watch your DVDs and be happy with your DVDs and shut the fuck up.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's my little rant for that.
Okay.
While you're on the ranty thing, let's talk about Pokemon Go.
Okay. Pokemon Go. I don't play. I started to, but then I thought, no, this is just taking way too much of my time. So I took it off my phone. I have friends that play. My roommate plays. She plays with her 4-year-old. There are lots of kids in the neighborhood that play. You see them on their bikes and on their scooters or walking. Joey plays. Oh, Giddy Geeker plays. Sorry.
That's okay. I'm still Joey. As of last week, I started strangely playing a little bit. So I don't know half of what I'm doing. But
I had lunch with John Hartness yesterday, and he caught 3 Pokemon in the restaurant. So.
Yeah. I mean, I went on a drive with my roommate on Monday night, and we were pulling over because it's like, oh, wait a minute, there's a Squirtle. Okay. I don't play. But this is getting people outside, it's getting people walking, yep. It's getting people together. Because I didn't know any of the kids in the neighborhood that I've lived in for a year with my roommate. But I was mowing the lawn and 3 kids walked up and I'm like, are there Pokemons somewhere here? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, go ahead and go get them before I run them over with a mower.
So it's like, that's awesome.
I was at a con, 1:30 in the morning, there's people walking High Point catching Pokemon. So what? So they're having fun. These people are like, I don't know why they're coming down so hard on this game, but there are people who are just like, I hate this. And it's like, well, then don't play.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, you know, now you know what it's like when we listen to you talk about football yeah. season and baseball right. all baseball season. And for those of us who are not as interested as you, we put up with it because it's something you enjoy. Well, this is something other people enjoy. Yeah, yeah. Get over it. And it is not a pocket demon. Pokemon no. is not short for pocket demon. And it is not third world countries trying to figure out our geography.
There you are.
The GPS comes from Google Earth. If you're mad at anybody, go to Google.
And you can type in any address and Google Earth will bring it up. It's not going to, you know, you don't have to rely on this Pokemon.
Yes,
that's
right.
You know, it's just one of those things. It's like, this is why we can't have nice things. Because everything we get, somebody's got a shit all over it.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't play the game. I don't care.
I love how the new Ghostbusters was ruining somebody's childhood, and this is now ruining somebody's adulthood.
Yeah. It's like, you just can't.
Just get over it.
Yeah.
You can't be happy. Just, you know, what the hell?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I did find it was funny that there was signs in the con area that congregate last weekend saying, do not hunt Pokemon in the halls. I don't think anybody adhered to them.
I don't think so.
I was going to say, how would you?
It's just a matter of watching where the hell you're going.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't stop on a dime. Pull the car over.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, there was... So I'm at work today, and we get our fairway health... Excuse me. That's not where I work. Bloop. We get this... you know, this weekly health email of, like, good ideas for your benefits for you. And there was an article about Pokemon Go and whether or not it was good for you. And it was really funny, but one of the things it did point out is, like, just so you know, there's a notification vibration that you can set up.
Yeah.
And so if you're running or you're walking or you're outside, you don't have to be staring at your phone. It will buzz when there's something for you to see, and that's when you pull over and you stop and you do that. Now, I'll admit, Matt and I drove around, and I had it in my hand while I was sitting in the passenger seat, And, you know, he did pull over so that I could get a couple things. But I'm like, if I don't catch it, it's okay. My life is not over. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's fun. I mean, there's two girls at work that they would just work straight through if it wasn't for this thing. But now they'll go out at 2 o'clock every day and just walk for 15 minutes. Because evidently you can incubate eggs by walking. I learn new stuff every day. But also, they go outside. And there's a poke stop. We're right by a church where I work. So they go out and get some more Pokeballs. And it's like, it's not hurting anybody.
No.
You know,
it's not
it's going to be okay.
It's not demonic. It's not.
Yeah.
It's just
a walking app where you catch little creatures.
Yeah.
And it makes you walk further or whatever. It's just, I don't know. It's just one of those. Let's bitch about
this is
everything.
Like the boy who cried wolf. When there's really something that comes along, nobody's going to believe it because you've been so hardcore about everything.
Every little thing that's come
been so very wrong. Yeah. I mean, we're not even talking about, you know, plagiarism on this. Let's just move on. So speaking of Congregate and walking the halls, how was Congregate this year?
Congregate is a little convention in High Point, and Misty was one of the guests, and I just attended this one. But I like Congregate. It's a small little con. Pretty much know everybody there, so it is very much like, hey, let's go hang out with a bunch of friends.
I have a drunken fly in my cup. Anyway, go on.
The hotel
is dreadful.
Yeah. But that does not put a shadow over the con itself, because the con was actually fun. But yeah, I enjoyed it. It's you know, it's usually the second weekend in July every year. Next year they will be at the High Point Radisson, because I believe they're contracted through next year for that. But
and next year there'll be Deep South Con as well.
That's right.
So, oh wow.
Yeah, so they'll be a little bit more crowded than this year. But it's just a fun little con, lots of writing panels, lots of neat things to do, and lots of people to hang out with.
Yeah.
Really cool.
I was one of the Holly Weird Squares, and Carol was one of our contestants.
Oh. I was, and I got beat out by a stupid baby shark from Sharknado.
I know. I was like, really?
That's only because he was X. And he played tic-tac-toe nicely, and I'm like, I'm not, you know, if he gets this one, because he's got two different ways to do it. And then I had to remind the host that he won.
Oh, that was you?
I was like, he just won. I could have just went, yeah, keep going.
Now, while you were there, an award was handed out.
Yes, it was.
Our very own John Hartness, by my shit. The Manly Wade Wellman Award.
That's right.
Who would be more manly than John? Manly Wade Wellman. It was for his novella Raising Hell.
Mm-hmm.
And
he won an award. He is now an award-winning author. I'm sure his head will just explode.
Well, he was actually already an award-winning author. He won an Epic Award last year.
That's why his head's so big.
Yeah.
And his beard's so long.
That's right.
Yeah, but this is the third year that they did it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's voted on by the people who attend Illogicon, Con Carolinas, Congregate. Is that it? Is that the three?
Yeah, it used to be Contemporal, but that's no more.
Gone away,
And then StellarCon, but that's no more.
Right. Okay.
Well, it is, but it isn't.
Yeah,
it's not the same.
So right. it's now the three, Illogicon, Con Carolinas, and Congregate.
Yep.
So that's awesome.
Yeah. So congratulations, Joan.
Woohoo! On our side, we found out this week that we will be at Geek Out Asheville, which is August 12th through 14th. Mm-hmm. Just type in Geek Out Asheville. It's geekoutavl.org, I believe. But it's a 1.5 day con. It starts Friday night. There's not really any panels or anything like that on Friday. It's the promenade and the costuming, and then there is a burlesque show that evening for the after hours. But the majority of the con is from 10 to 8 on Saturday. Looks like a pretty good turnout of a crowd, so make sure you check on that. And then Carol and I will be out there. So yes. Look for us. look for us during the day because Carol went to lights out, and evidently you don't want to go when the lights are out.
Well, you want to keep the lights on.
I want to know about this because I've been seeing the commercials and they scare me. I like scary movies, so.
I have to say this movie surprised me. Lights Out is based on a short that you can actually find on YouTube.
Actually find on our podcast.
Oh, there you go. I've seen that, and that scared me too.
Yeah. It's actually like a 3-minute short, and it's actually a really good short. Pay homage to the short at the very beginning of this film because the woman who is actually in the short film shows up in the movie.
Cool.
But the premise is that this mother who has two children, a young boy and a early 20s daughter, has psychological problems. She's deeply depressed, and she spent a number of years in a mental hospital when she was a young girl, and she befriended another young girl named Diane who had an aversion to light. Light would actually burn her skin. And they tried a radical therapy on Diana and ended up killing her. But she didn't quite go away. She comes back, but you can only see her when the lights are out. When the lights are on, she doesn't appear. So the object basically is to keep the lights on as much as possible. And this is actually a pretty smart film. You actually care about the characters. And there are parts where it is genuinely creepy. It's a very short film. It's only like 85 minutes. It doesn't quite come to an hour and a half. So it goes pretty quickly. My only problem with the film is these characters know that you need light, but they don't seem all that eager to find light. It's like, if you know this creature is not going to show up if you have lights on, you'd be having flashlights, candles, just, you know, everything, just lights, you know, everywhere. Now, the mother, of course, wants her friend to come back, so she's removing light bulbs and, you know, trying to get this creature in. But the effects are actually really done well. One of the things I really did like is the boyfriend, which is usually a throwaway character in horror films, he's actually a really nice guy, and you really care. And it's really funny because we saw this in it was a packed theater. And every time this boyfriend did anything, everybody would go, "Oh no, Chad, no!"
His name is Chad.
His name is Chad. Like, no, not Chad. But it was actually a really nice crowd. There was, you know, lots of people screaming. There was people laughing just to release the tension. So it was actually a pretty good atmosphere to see the film. And it's actually, I would give it a B minus. It's not a terrific film. It's not going to be something that you know. I turned the lights off when I got home. But it was actually, it had some creepy moments and it was well acted and it surprised me quite a bit. That being said, the woman who brought the 9-month-old baby.
What?
Oh, she needs to be punished.
And the couple that brought the kids that were under 5.
Whoa.
Why are you doing that? Because seriously, the kids under 5 were traumatized. And,
You said seriously. Siri turned on.
The audience is probably traumatized from the 9-month-old, right?
And of course, the 9-month-old started screaming about 10 minutes into the film. So she got up and left. But still, those two little kids were just terrified, because this is creepy. It's not rated R. I think it's PG-13, but still, this is something where...
Well, that just means nobody had sex.
Yeah. This is something creepy creature. When the lights are out, you're just traumatizing your children. Please leave your children at home. But, I mean, it's a good little film. It's a pretty decent little horror film. Cool.
Yay. I've been hoping that there'd be a decent horror film, because lately it seems like I get on Netflix and I'm looking, and I love to be scared, y'all. And I don't like slasher movies. They just kind of squick me out. I don't like them. I like to be good and scared. And it seems like lately it's just all...
It's
okay. Do you want a good... I was telling a friend at work today about this. You want a good psychological film? Have you seen The Good Son with Macaulay Culkin?
No, not yet. But okay. I'm familiar. Haven't seen it.
It's an older movie. Yeah. It's when Macaulay Culkin, it was right after he did Home Alone and after he did the Nutcrackers ballet.
Okay.
And it stars a very young Elijah Wood.
And I like to call it, it's that Hitchcockian kinetic evil.
Ooh.
Where you don't see the violence necessarily on screen. But there's just that, to me, that potent energy of, oh my God, evil. Yeah. Similar to the bad seed kind of thing,
yeah.
Where it's just like that kinetic evil. And I think it was really a very against type role for Macaulay Culkin. He did a great job. Elijah Wood did an Elijah Wood job, which is good.
Right.
But my husband at the time, I hate that movie. Mm-hmm. Why'd you, because like I had seen it in the theater and then it came on TV and I was like, let's watch it. And he was like, why did you make me watch that? I hate that kid. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's what means it's a good movie, because you're forgetting this is the Home Alone actor. And
right.
You're like, I hate this kid. And I think it's not a slasher movie. Bad things do happen. But I think it was an underrated movie at the time. Mm-hmm. And I think that Culkin didn't get his due for that. I think he did an amazing job for that.
I don't think people were quite prepared to see him in that type of role so soon after Home Alone.
Yeah.
I also recommend Hush, which is on Netflix, which I think not the Gwyneth Paltrow version. This is the one about a writer who is deaf. And
oh yes, the woman.
Yes,
we saw that. Wow,
that one was good.
Oh wow, I didn't even want to watch it. My husband turned it on. I was like, I don't feel like sitting down and watching this. And I went to my desk, and 3 seconds later, I'm back because I can't hear what's going on because she's deaf. And so, and so I came back, and I ended up sitting in the couch the whole time and not moving. And that is so not me, because I wander while I'm watching things. And
that was a good one.
That was a really good one.
That one surprised me. I just turned that one on just,
There's a really low budget one I like, and I don't like horror movies at all, but it doesn't show a lot of, it's not violent really, but it's called Low, and it's basically almost like I think it was originally like a little stage production, and they just filmed it, and so it's very low budget, but it's basically what happens when you find out your true love is a demon, and the demon gets called back, and will you still love that person or that demon, and it's a great little like weird insane love story, and I think it's also pretty short. I mean, I don't, it might be 90 minutes maybe, but
yeah,
but it's great. I don't even like gross stuff usually.
Yeah.
But
anyway,
yeah.
So this has been your horror section.
Yeah.
So, but speaking of other movies coming out, Suicide Squad
coming out.
Yeah. We have a advanced screening coming out next week.
Two weeks.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll be definitely doing a review of that. We had a very limited amount of free passes we were able to give out on the Charlotte Geeks website. So sorry to all those people who didn't get tickets. Literally 20 admit 2 passes, and they were gone in 90 seconds. It was like trying to get concert tickets. So
trying to get rooms at Dragon Con.
Exactly. It was that kind of feel. And somebody like put in all caps, I was only 4 minutes late. I'm like, dude, I told you 6:30. I posted it at 6:31 to give those people that were a minute late a chance. I can't help you beyond that. Yeah. You know, it's like,
people have been talking about this movie for over a year, so I mean, you gotta.
This is DC's big shot after the failure of Batman vs. Superman.
I don't think DC thought that this would. Well, obviously, they scheduled it in August, which is the throwaway month for summer movies. So they obviously weren't thinking too highly of it. But I have to say, the people who are behind the marketing of this film deserve some sort of award. Mm-hmm. Because the trailers are amazing.
Yes.
And I think, the success of Deadpool in February allowed people to kind of be, so the powers that be to be like, oh, this does have potential in this market. And to embrace Suicide Squad just a little bit more than they had.
Yeah.
So hopefully that will be good.
And the graphic posters are also really nice.
And I have a question for you guys who know more about the origins of the Suicide Squad. I've been seeing a lot of complaints lately that the way they've portrayed Harley Quinn is absolutely wrong and they should all be punished for putting this movie out. And I am not really a comic book reader, and so I don't have that reference to come from. And I've been really looking forward to it because it looks great to me. But why am I supposed to not like it?
It's the same thing with the Ghostbusters type of thing. It's like people want this, some very small number of people who are stuck. And it, unfortunately, it's a lot of guys like me in their mid-40s and or in 50s, these white guys that just read these comic books and they can't accept anything, an update of any character. That's what it really is, because really the character was not even in the comic books. Yeah. It was
an animated series.
It was Paul Dini created the character, and then later she was kind of brought over into comic books.
Oh, okay.
So usually it doesn't happen that way, but this is one of those rare exceptions where it did, because it was a great character and a great idea.
Yeah.
And there have been a lot of different interpretations even in comics about the character. So I'm like, I don't see what the big fuss is about.
I think in this particular instance, there's also a vocal minority of women who find this Harley Quinn highly sexualized.
She already wasn't.
She already was. So, yeah. I mean, even if you go back to that Batman animated series, she was portrayed a very certain way. Yes, she had a lot of coverage in her costume because she wore the actual Harley Quinn or Harlequin costume.
Right.
But it was always, there was always, you know, a kind of sexual element to her. And in the comic books, I mean, her and Poison Ivy.
And to me, she's really the DC version of Deadpool. It just happens to be female. Because the same thing. Ryan Reynolds was very sexual. I mean, and it's like, okay, so a woman's not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
Fuck off. I mean, it's just the character, right? It's like down this rabbit hole, but it's like, why can't people get over shit? It's 2016, almost, right? it's like it just baffles me that, like, I have to have this little version that I've had forever. Well, then read your same comic books over and over, whatever you want to do.
And I mean, particularly with this character who is tied so closely with the Joker.
Yeah.
Because that's her origin. He created her, and she can't seem to be without him. I mean, it's not like she's not a strong female role model to begin with, and never was. So I don't understand the whole you're sexualizing my Harley Quinn. She did nothing but follow Joker around and go, Mr. J.
So this ties in pretty well. I was with my new job, I now travel about 45 minutes to work each way as opposed to 15. So I've been able to go back to listening to my podcast.
Yay.
Which is like an awesome part of my job, the guests being a little expensive, but you know, it's a great part of my job. And I just finished yesterday listening to a interview that Chris did with Paul Dini, who created Harley Quinn and the Joker and the whole thing. If you have a chance after you listen to our podcast, it's an hour, and I'm going to tell you right now, it's about an hour and a half, an hour 40 minutes. But listen to it. He has a new book coming out, which is an autobiography about how he overcame being mugged and basically having his face smashed in and being at a place where he was like, I crawled home and realized I was surrounded by, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of stuff and nobody to say, oh my God, what happened? Are you all right? Let's take you to the hospital and all this kind of stuff, and kind of getting past that place. In the end, at the end of the interview, they actually talk a little bit about like Harley Quinn and the Joker. And Chris Hardwick asked a very interesting question. He's like, do you think the Joker really loves Harley Quinn? And, you know, it's obvious she loves him.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, does he love her? And Paul Dini, the creator, gave a very interesting answer. And it's like, you know, he loves what he made her because he's so narcissistic about it. And it's like, she's his Galatea, you know. She's his My Fair Lady, if you would like, you know, Pygmalion. But does he love her? No, he loves what she is because of him. And, you know, so it's that kind of a thing. And, you know, I think Harley Quinn, is she sexualized? Yeah, but she's, you know, perhaps the writers for this one, you know, we'll see after we see the movie. But perhaps they're giving her a chance to not be quite in such a abusive relationship the way that she is.
Because Joker tries to kill her all the time. He's the Joker. This is not a stable thing, force of nature. I mean, he just loses it, and it's never been a strong character, but as far as
she seems to have so much agency in the trailers that I just didn't understand why people were complaining. You know, because like I said, I have no frame of reference, not having come from watching the show or seeing her in the comic books, and so, you know.
Well, and people had a lot of problems with the Joker because he didn't look like Heath Ledger, but let's be honest, Heath Ledger didn't look like
the Joker.
Right.
That was a very particular
type. He didn't look like, you know.
But, you know, we go through this all the time, because when Heath Ledger was announced as the Joker for The Dark Knight, all I heard was, oh my god, it's Brokeback Batman. Because he had just started Brokeback Mountain. And of course he walked in and just blew everybody away.
Yes, he did.
So I don't know. I don't know what to expect from Harley Quinn in this movie. I think they focus on her in the trailers because, one, she is sexy, and two, they're kind of scared to focus on Will Smith, who is probably a more prominent character in the movie than Harley.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't really done well in his last few films. But
good point.
And you know that whole kerfuffle about him being overlooked for a film he didn't do well in.
Yeah, so it's you know, I think this was one of those odd movies that I think the first trailer was kind of like okay, but then somebody came in with the music.
Yeah, this movie is going to be based on the editing.
Yeah,
how well it does or how well it doesn't do is totally going to be based on the editing, because you know they've re-edited this.
And they've done a lot of reshoots, so they're making it funnier after the criticism for Batman and Superman.
There's somebody
down reshoots on the cutting room floor picking up pieces and splicing it back together.
And after Deadpool did so well, they're like, okay, more jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They like the jokes.
So, not to wrap this up on a bad note, but this is kind of how we do it around here. Rest in peace to Gary Marshall.
Chachi killed him, yes.
Gary Marshall, of course, known for Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley, but he's also known for Mork and Mindy, which, let's face it, was one of the few sci-fi things that were funny for many of us growing up.
Yeah, we're that old. Shut up.
Yeah. Well, because Lost in Space was off the air by then. You know, the Jetsons anime maybe, but you know, you just didn't have a present day sci-fi the way that Mork and Mindy was. And of course he's done so many things and been a part of so many things, and his sister, he, you know, helped launch her career, and certainly she's gone on to huge things. Penny Marshall, Big, for example. Mm-hmm. And just
League of Their Own.
Yeah, you know, so substantial stuff. And we miss you.
Indeed.
Another great one is gone.
Indeed.
But you know what? Killing Women, still 2 days to check that out. Suicide Squad coming out. Looking for something good to read, check out Raising Hell. Looking for something good to write, check out Lawless Lands Anthology, which is why Misty is here. We didn't let her say that. Tiffany, we missed you. Have a good week, y'all. Push the button.
Oh, okay.
Bye. Are we done?
Bye. Listening to Guardians of the Geekery.
Listen to 92 to talk about Misty.
Find us on Facebook at facebook.com.
92, because it's all about me.
And on Twitter at CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Kilstofta. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International.
4.0.
To be 4.1.